patience. This may sound like a very obvious truth, but it is actually rather profound. The ironic thing about patience, though, is that it takes patience to learn patience, and patience can indeed be learned. It is a self-proving gift. In other words, the more patient you become, the more you learn that patience always pays off, and thus the easier and more natural it becomes to wait. However, patience is not the same thing as waiting. You can wait both patiently or impatiently. Patience is the natural ground of your being, whereas impatience arises out of fear and conditioning. Patience is about trust. These two words have very similar meanings. If you trust in life, you will trust life in every moment, even the challenging moments, and in so doing, you will always remain in the flow. As you live your life, you may notice many rhythms all around you, and it is the underlying presence of these rhythms that makes you feel stable. The most obvious annual rhythm can be seen in the shifting of the four seasons. If you are inwardly quiet, the passage of the seasons will make a very powerful impression within your psyche. It tells us some very deep truths, that spring always follows winter, for example. In your daily life, you will experience periods of winter where resources may be scarce, where you may feel lost for a while, or when you simply feel melancholy for no apparent reason. Such stages are built into life, and if you are patient, they change of their own accord, and they always reveal some magic. As a vital element of the chemical family known as the ring of light, this fifth gene key plays a profound role within your genetics. Coding for an amino acid known as threonine, it determines the blueprint for how your individual cells trap light and convert it into energy. Through the magnetism of your living aura, you draw in or limit the frequencies of light deep into the cellular structure of your body. If you live your life out of fear, magnetically speaking, you limit the amount of light that touches your DNA. The more open-hearted you are, the more you magnetize higher frequencies into that very same DNA. It is only at certain frequencies that particular codes can be activated. When you are in love, for example, you will always experience higher codes within your DNA awakening. Time will pass differently, almost as if you were in a timeless bubble. Anyone who has been in love can recognize or remember this kind of experience. The fifth gift of patience is a far greater gift than it may sound. Patience, when really experienced deep within the body, leads to the opening of your heart and the consequent turning on of a higher code within your DNA. Your DNA is a library of consciousness that is completely dependent on the frequencies of light. The body is designed to awaken to these higher frequencies, which is why humanity really only seeks one thing, to live in the state of love. The more you are able to settle into a deep trust and patience with the rhythm of your own life, the more your heart will open, and the softer and more yielding you will become in your attitude to everything and everyone that comes your way. You will begin to discover a higher functioning of your DNA, a code within a code. This code is not dependent on anything or anyone outside you. The state of open-heartedness or of being in love is a completely natural human state. There are people in the world who live permanently in this state. The gifts that come to the patient person are not only inner quietness, but also integration. When you wait and allow life to reveal its natural rhythms, you also come to realize that life knows best. Hindsight shows you repeatedly that life is constructed of beautiful and perfect patterns woven into wonderful tapestries, and that your individual life follows such cosmic patterns. If you know how to wait calmly, you will realize that you are always a part of these wider patterns, and that they actually support you at all times, even the most challenging times. Above all, the gift of patience allows you to hear life's music. It tunes you into the subtle metronome behind your life. It allows you to breathe deeply into your belly and never feel trapped by your outer life situation. Patience smooths rough edges, keeps your heart and mind open, and makes life seem simple and easy. When you become impatient, even for a moment, you have stopped listening and trusting in the greater life. For these reasons, it is patience that has always been the true gauge and measure of the greatness of a person's soul. The fifth siddhi, timelessness, hitting the speed of being. Since the discovery of DNA and the mapping of the human genome, a huge amount of energy has gone into trying to identify and locate genes that seem to have specific links to certain diseases and illnesses. Now that we humans have cracked the code of life, our goal is to try and use it to make our lives more secure, which is understandable. However, what the shadow frequency fails to realize is that just because you can read a code does not mean that you are bound by that code. For example, knowing a child's genetic predisposition to heart disease may well end up being a double-edged sword because the very knowing increases the possibilities of its occurring. If the parents respond through fear, then the frequency is indeed strengthened. At the gift level of frequency, you have just learned that higher manifestations of your DNA also exist. To live an open-hearted life is to operate at peak health and therefore to override any such genetic predispositions. However, there exists an even higher truth hiding here at the siddhic frequency. It is that all codes can eventually be transcended and are, in fact, designed to be transcended. This truth is momentous. What the shadow frequency views as a problem may actually be a higher genetic mutation waiting to be unlocked. Here, at the highest siddhic frequencies, codes can no longer be unlocked digitally, which means to say that the mind cannot comprehend them. Only the human spirit can unlock the deepest secrets in your DNA. It is here in the fifth siddhi that the great secret known as enlightenment lies waiting. The highest code can only be awakened by the flood of high frequencies contained within the spectrum of light. This is why the ancients named the phenomenon of awakening enlightenment. The more you open yourself to higher frequencies of light, the more heightened the vibration becomes within your cellular DNA. Awakening usually occurs in a rhythmic or logarithmic manner. That is to say that the body is periodically flooded by higher siddhic frequencies prior to full-blown enlightenment. The distance in time between such events decreases by approximately one-half every time it occurs. The body is readying itself for an experience that will alter its own functioning permanently. Every time you experience such an inflow of siddhic high-frequency light, you move through an intense period of mutation in which any glitches in your genetic code are erased. This translates into experience as deep unconscious fears rising up to the surface of your awareness through the medium of your body. After such periods, your whole system must literally be rebooted. These times in your life can be very challenging, and you may well experience some disorientation. As it nears the siddhic threshold, the frequency of your body will begin to approach the speed of light. It is only when your frequency hits the speed of light that time finally dissolves and pure being is experienced. This is the higher purpose hidden in all human DNA, to hit the speed of being. At the level of the fifth siddhi, patience itself is completely transcended and something wonderful happens. You, as a separate entity, cease to exist. Impatience and patience are two ends of the same spectrum, and as such, they are rooted in the existence of time. There is a fascinating lesson to be learned from the spectrum of consciousness, and patience is the only key that allows you to see this lesson. All beings in life are waiting. Life itself can be seen as a waiting for death. We each wait for the future to reach into us, and as it does, so we see what life has planned for us. Consciousness dances through our vehicles in unique archetypal patterns. Sometimes we may find ourselves struggling in a shadow state, whilst at others we feel a deep sense of peace. Our lives are like the candle flame flickering in the winds of duality, impatience to patience, fear to trust, and back again endlessly. Acidic state is different from this. In the acidic state, you have jumped out of the game. You are not identified with the candle flame, even though it may go on flickering. You cannot talk in terms of patience or impatience because you cannot talk in terms of time or identity. This is the meaning of the Siddhi of timelessness. Timelessness is the nature of consciousness itself. It is unborn and undying. Timelessness does not care whether the body is exhibiting patience or impatience. It simply is. Timelessness is thus the death of all fighting. Patience and impatience are not absolute states. They are the poles within life, experienced through human awareness. Only timelessness is an absolute state, a siddhic state. The nature of the 64 siddhis can be seen very clearly through this fifth siddhi. These are not glamorous states. Even though the words may sound captivating, most of the siddhis are actually very ordinary. They occur when the set of patterns that you call yourself finally experiences itself as nothing more than a set of patterns. At this point, consciousness sees itself, and the awareness operating through you is never quite the same again, even though the patterns of your nature continue to run until you die. This great change occurs when the smaller self stops trying to interfere with the flickering of the candle flame of awareness from one state to another. In other words, when you stop trying to leave the shadow frequency, only then can the paradox happen, when there is no more fight left in you. This fifth siddhi also shows up the problems of language. In this book, we talk about states in terms of frequency bands. A higher gift state is spoken of as having a higher frequency, and a shadow state as having a lower frequency. This language feeds the human evolutionary urge to achieve higher states. Because of this language, it may be assumed that a higher frequency is therefore your goal. Ironically, the siddhic states cannot really be spoken of in terms of frequency at all, since frequency depends on oscillations of wave patterns within time. How then can we discuss timelessness, or indeed any of the other 63 siddhis? The answer is that we cannot, but we can still play within the language. This is the hidden lesson of the spectrum of consciousness, that it is actually a fallacy, because you cannot measure or divide consciousness. You may well be wondering by now whether there is any point in going on in this exploration of the 64 gene keys. Well, there is, and there isn't. One thing is true to say, the more deeply your mind grasps the fact that you cannot do anything in life, the more you must begin to surrender both to your smaller genetic nature and your greater galactic nature. In the end, only timelessness will tell. Sixth Gene Key, The Path to Peace. Programming Partner, 36th Gene Key. Golden Ring, The Ring of Alchemy, 6, 40, 47, 64. Physiology, mesenteric plexus, lumbar ganglia. Amino acid, glycine. The sixth shadow, conflict. The battle of the sexes. The sixth shadow of conflict is the single most influential gene key in regard to the issue of human communication. At its highest potential, the sixth gene key is the archetype of peace on Earth, whilst at its lowest potential, it is the root cause of all human conflict. This conflict stems from the human emotional system and our inability to handle the voltage of extreme emotional states. Conflict breaks out whenever two or more people agree to identify with their emotional state. As long as you surrender your will to the emotional system, then you will be trapped by its volatile nature. Within the human body, the sixth shadow relates to the pH level of your blood. Its job is to maintain an optimum balance of acidity and alkalinity so that your cells can thrive. As a metaphor on a wider scale, we can see that the sixth shadow is about the loss of this balance in the world at large. In particular, it is about the imbalance between male and female, and over time has given rise to the notion of the battle of the sexes. This battle or conflict is not just about men and women. It is about the balance of all polarities, religion and science, east and west, rich and poor. The world itself has its own kind of pH level, and wherever it is imbalanced, conflict ensues. In the same way that an overbalance of acidic body tissue becomes an environment for viruses and cancer to thrive, so do social imbalances result in upheaval, corruption, and at their worst, war. The sixth shadow can be interpreted individually through relationships or collectively through communities. At an individual level, this shadow manifests through your emotional state. If you have ever been emotionally repressed through shame or guilt or abuse, the entire culture within your being has been disturbed. Likewise, if you are utterly ruled by your emotions, there can be no sense of harmony inside you. It is well known how much your emotional state influences your biological health. If you are stressed emotionally, your body will suffer. Emotional problems are the greatest cause of illness on our planet, and the 36th shadow of turbulence, the programming partner to this sixth shadow, reinforces this fact. The 36th shadow conditions you to be nervous when you feel uncertain or insecure about anything in life. It is this nervousness that forms the background frequency of our whole planet. The biofeedback loop between these two shadows is rooted in nervousness and defensiveness. The 36th shadow makes you nervous, feeding the sixth shadow, which responds through making you behave defensively. Likewise, your own defensiveness makes other people behave in a nervous manner around you. Human beings are unconsciously addicted to conflict. We long for peace individually and globally, but our collective low frequency ensures that we keep reinforcing the patterns of conflict. Nowhere is this seen more clearly than in our relationships. The conflict between male and female is part of the oldest wound there is, and it is hot-wired into our genetics. You are genetically sub-programmed to defend yourself from the opposite sex, and until your frequency rises above the emotional gravitational pull of the opposite sex, you can never really know peace. This is the deep irony of the sixth shadow. To bring an end to conflict, you have to give up your attraction to the opposite sex. Sex and war are deeply interrelated. This is a profound and perhaps disturbing truth for many people, and especially so because there is nothing we can do about it. Human sexuality can only be transcended through physiological mutation, which is dependent on the extent of your connection to the higher planes of reality. When the sixth shadow is viewed at a social level, it dictates the relationships between different racial groups. Here, the genetic defense reflex becomes truly dangerous, since we are subprogrammed to distrust other gene pools and cultures. It is this sixth shadow that first gave birth to the idea of national borders and boundaries, and it is the sixth shadow that is responsible for war. War has been a byproduct of our genetic makeup for millennia. However, the sixth shadow is not as frightening as it sounds when viewed in evolutionary terms. It is an ancient part of our genetics, and it has been a necessary part of our evolution. It ensured that racial diversity existed in the first place, allowing different gene pools to expand and thrive without too much inbreeding. Only relatively recently have all the gene pools begun to merge with each other, which suggests that the human race has arrived at a very important genetic axis point. The sixth shadow is about maintaining boundaries and borders. It is about who is included and who is excluded, and its entire basis is defense. The sixth shadow causes you to believe that you have to defend yourself from danger. You can see this at both an individual level and a national level. Your emotional defense strategies are primarily laid down during your second 7-year cycle, from the age of 7 until 14, as you navigate puberty. An enormous amount of life energy is tied up in protecting ourselves from the volatile emotional situations we felt as children. Unless we enter some deep process of deconditioning, we will continue to carry these defenses throughout our adult lives. In the same way, on a national level, we invest the majority of our energy in defense. The aggregate world defense budget is equivalent to well over $1,000 billion. One can only imagine how different the world might be were even one-tenth of this sum used in a creative way. The sixth shadow is the reason we cannot create world peace. Until such time as human beings move through an emotional revolution at an individual level and find peace in our relationships, this shadow cannot be transcended. However, as we shall see, it is also written into our human story that revolutions do occur, and in fact, one of the biggest is beginning right now. Repressive nature, over-attentive. The repressive nature of the sixth shadow is concerned with maintaining peace between people, regardless of the cost. This pattern is based entirely upon fear and means that these people will totally compromise themselves in order to maintain control of their emotional environment. This is the defense pattern of over-attentiveness, and these are the people-pleasers. The repressive nature will sweep conflict under the carpet by adopting any behavior that will keep it at bay. The problem here is that unless conflict is dealt with transparently, it tends to eventually explode. The over-attentive nature is at its core deeply false, which means that it will invoke unconscious distrust in others. Over-attentive natures also tend to draw tactless natures to them, resulting in some spectacularly dysfunctional relationships and family dynamics. When these people finally develop the courage to face conflict, they realize it is never as bad as they feared. Reactive nature, tactless. The other side of this sixth shadow is unable to contain its emotions at all. Lack of emotional tact and timing betrays a low-frequency nature that inevitably results in a backlash. These people are always finding themselves in difficult emotional situations, which they make worse by giving vent to their anger, as well as projecting it onto others. They are unable to take responsibility for their own volatile feelings. Their most common defence is to lash out and then storm away. The dilemma of the tactless nature is that it is deaf to its own lack of tact. These people assume that the problem is always in the other person, which unfortunately earns them no friends and makes it very difficult for others to get close to them. The only kind of person who will remain with such a pattern is the over-attentive nature described here. The secret to breaking this pattern is for reactive natures to take full responsibility for their emotions instead of remaining stuck in a teenager mentality. The sixth gift, diplomacy, dropping your defences. At a heightened frequency, the sixth gift pulls rapidly away from the world of conflict and argumentation. This is the gift of diplomacy, the ability to adjust your own behavior to create a harmonious exchange with others. This gift is a byproduct of opening your heart to another person. As you become clearer about your own emotional conditioning, you begin to feel more peaceful. Because this gift is so deeply connected with the pH balance in your physical body, it also has the effect of stabilizing the emotional aura in your environment. In other words, when one is able to see and own their unconscious projections, they actually rupture the collective shadow patterns wherever they go. If one person is not playing the reaction, blame game, the other is forced to come to terms with his or her own demons. You can see how the balance of pH in the body can be further understood through this gift. For a relationship to be healthy, there must be a balance of yin and yang, of receiving and giving, listening and expressing. Conflict ensues when this balance is lost. The sixth gift has the effect of instantly applying the required amount of give and take in order to maintain peacefulness. As an example, if one person in a relationship becomes aggressive, the diplomatic countermeasure is to absorb the aggression and then pass the energy back without adding anything to it. This may be done in any number of ways, but tactful honesty is one of the most common. Honesty carries an extraordinary power and is one of the keys to diplomacy. The other key is timing. You have to be honest in the right way and at the right moment. People displaying the sixth gift are always attuned to the right timing of how to act and what to say through the strong resonance field of their aura. These people can physically feel into another person's aura. They can do this because it is a specific genetic gift, and also because they are emotionally mature. Emotional maturity means that your awareness operates even during the most profound emotional states. As you become more and more aware of your own emotional patterns, the frequency passing through your emotional system is released and quickened. This makes you much more sensitive at an energetic level, like an early warning system for conflict. When you are operating out of this sixth gift, you can sense conflict in others before it even arises. This enables you to temper your own actions and or words to disperse the conflict. The gift of diplomacy is far more than the ability to speak the right words, however. That is a mere surface skill that can be mastered by anyone, even at a low frequency. True diplomacy is an energetic gift operating through a person's aura. Because this sixth gene key is so embedded within human sexuality, it is about the penetration of borders and boundaries. Because of the sixth shadow, there is tremendous friction between the opposite sexes. Both sides are so busy defending their individuality that there is very little real love or connection, but this friction is maintained only as long as each party hangs on to its defenses. As the sixth gift enters into human relationships, the emotional barriers begin to break down between people. The sixth gift catalyzes the process of dissolving the natural friction between opposites, and in doing so, it allows a far greater exchange of energy between them. This is exactly what the experience of falling in love is. As part of the chemical genetic family, known as the Ring of Alchemy, the sixth gift is playing a pivotal role in the transformation of the human species. This codon ring is formed by four gene keys, the 6th, 40th, 47th, and 64th, whose themes are diplomacy, resolve, transmutation, and imagination, respectively. This is a very powerful genetic grouping. The sixth gift is breaking down the barriers in human relationships. The 40th gift is forging this new openness into our communities. The 47th gift is allowing us to transform our old ways, and the 64th gift is opening us to a fresh set of possibilities for living in a new way. At a collective level, therefore, every person manifesting the sixth gift is a participant in this deep alchemical process of gradually bringing peace to Earth. These people realize how throttling defensiveness can be, both in individuals, cultures, and whole races. As this gift enters the world in a more widespread manner, as indeed it must, we shall begin to see the dismantling of the many types of borders and barriers that keep people apart from each other. The Sixth City. Peace. Building the Body of Glory. The ultimate defense is emptiness. This is the essence of the wisdom taught by the great sages. Defense maintains the illusion that we are separate. As such, it is truly futile because it protects against something that doesn't really exist in the first place. There is a famous story called The Empty Boat, told by the Chinese sage Chuang Tzu. One day, an old man was crossing a river in his boat when he mistakenly collided with another boat. The man in the second boat began shouting at the old man, cursing him. However, to the second man's dismay, the old man did not react in any way whatsoever, but just stared at him, impassively. The old man was an enlightened being who had transcended all sense of his own individuality. For him, there was no one in his boat to be shouted at. Thus, there was no one to defend, and therefore no reaction within his being. The Sixth City of Peace is one of the truly great cities. It is the underlying nature of all the cities. In point of fact, it is the underlying nature of form itself once its true essence has been realized as consciousness. The Sixth City is the final result of the process that occurs in the Sixth Gift. The Sixth Gift is marked by a constant balancing of opposites. In this sense, diplomacy requires a subtle effort, since it is juggling within the realms of duality. However, at a certain point, this process spontaneously gives way to the sixth city, and duality itself is transcended. You might say that whilst the sixth gift is the activity that maintains peacefulness, the sixth city is peace itself. Peace is the reality that is experienced once all boundaries have dissolved. It is the true nature of humanity. So many great teachers have spoken of the peace of the sixth city. When Jesus stated that the kingdom of heaven has already arrived, but that people simply cannot see it, he was talking about this city. Peace is an auric emanation that surrounds anyone in a siddhic state. In this siddhic state, the awareness within your being separates from your emotional nature. It rises up and floats upon the vibrations of your emotional longing. This is a spontaneous process that cannot be caused by anything within your individuality, since it is that very individuality that has to die. The underlying emotional energy that was previously experienced as longing is now experienced as peace. Awareness is no longer trapped within the vicissitudes of the emotional human drama. In the deepest sense, something utterly wondrous happens inside you. The final boundary, the boundary of your body, dissolves. When this occurs, awareness is no longer localized in the body, but is experienced as traveling through all forms. You realize that all of life is alive, and that even though the awareness within a form may dissolve as the form passes away, the consciousness behind this game of life and death always remains. The sense of peace that emanates from these revelations is indescribable. All your defenses disappear, and your boat becomes empty. Paradoxically, at the same time, this very emptiness is flooded by everythingness. Profound changes occur within your physical body before, during, and after this realization. Since your outer walls have dissolved, the process is mirrored within your body chemistry, and all inner conflict comes to an end. It is as though all the cells within your body make peace with each other and experience their own inner Garden of Eden. In this sense, the true Garden of Eden is the body itself. The waves of peace that accompany this event travel deep into the collective consciousness of all humanity. To be in the physical presence of the sixth city is to bathe your body in its truth. It is to experience greater awareness than your own, traveling physically and emotionally through your body. Because the current human form is not designed for these heightened states of consciousness, some strange phenomena can occur within the body of someone experiencing this city. The sixth city is the original and future state of humanity. From it stem our myths and memories of paradise and our intuitions and highest hopes for the future. When this state dawns inside you, your body begins to mutate. In a sense, it is trying to build a better vehicle to house this intense new frequency, but the raw materials are not fully present yet. Humankind is still evolving the new energetic circuitry that can carry these frequencies. This is why so many great sages suddenly become diseased. In particular, they can experience problems and imbalances within the body's pH. These things occur because the body is trying to catch up to its future state. Regardless of what is experienced physically, the sense of utter peace does not even flicker. In certain rare cases, the elements of the future body are available through your genetics, and the process of building the future body can and does continue. This involves the 47th Siddhi of Transfiguration, part of the Ring of Alchemy mentioned earlier. The sixth Siddhi has a very special quality in this sense, in that it contains instructions on how to build a new genetic form. It is interesting to note that glycine, the amino acid for which the sixth gene key codes, is one of the only amino acids discovered in interstellar clouds in deep space. The suggestion is that this amino acid may play a key role in the formation of new life in the galaxy. The new form of humanity is connected to this issue of the body's pH and also to the boundaries within the body itself. The ultimate boundary is our skin, and one effect of this Siddhi can be mutations in the skin. These mutations affect the way in which skin cells trap light, so that the skin of someone manifesting this Siddhi can appear to be translucent. If the 47th Siddhi is also involved in the process, an even more extraordinary phenomenon occurs. The transfiguration of the human body into what the ancients called the rainbow body or the body of glory. This transfiguration will eventually overtake our entire species. The builder of this process is the sixth Siddhi. As our skin cells learn to capture light, our digestive system will gradually become defunct, since light contains the ultimate nutrients for the subtle body. As far as the pH of the body is concerned, this spiritualization of the physical form will gradually weaken the extremes of the pH scale, thereby reducing the acidity and alkalinity of the body. Eventually, as all the solutions within the body become neutralized, the hydrogen ions that form the very basis of the pH scale will evaporate and the body will disappear altogether. On a collective level, the sixth city will be the very last city to fully mutate in the coming shift in global consciousness. Only when peace is recognized on Earth as the natural state of our collective consciousness can the future vehicle of humanity be built. In other words, the myth of world peace is the pretext for building the future body that will take us beyond form itself. Seventh Gene Key. Virtue is its own reward. Programming Partner, 13th Gene Key. Codon Ring, the Ring of Union. 4-7-29-59. Physiology, diaphragm. Amino acid, valine. The Seventh Shadow. Division. A World Divided. The seventh shadow of division is one of the main reasons human society operates in hierarchies. Not only is this shadow responsible for the manifestation of hierarchy, but it also makes you think in terms of hierarchy. We have become so used to thinking this way that we no longer conceive that another way might exist. Hierarchy is based upon division. It divides human beings into social classes, economic classes, racial castes, and political wings. The reason for this division is rooted far more deeply than our psychology. It is actually stamped upon our genes. It is through the seventh shadow that we are programmed to follow leaders, and it is also through this shadow that certain people are programmed to behave as leaders. The entire issue of leadership and power are contained within this shadow. The ancient Chinese named this seventh hexagram of the I Ching the army, which is extremely fitting. The army represents the real power in a country on a political level, and if you don't control the army, you have no real power. This symbol of an army also represents the idea of power through force, rather than power through inspiration, which is the true nature of leadership expressed through the seventh gift and city. This shadow always rules by force, and today it runs the political systems across the whole expanse of our planet. Even modern democracy, which has at its heart a high ideal, does not entirely eradicate the concept of leadership through force. Now, however, instead of military strength, democratic leaders have to lead through the force of numbers. They have to secure the majority of votes. On a subtle level, even democracy encourages division. Modern political leaders can still force their way to the top. They can cheat, spin, or bend the truth, manipulate, and even buy their way into leadership. Until leadership demands its highest frequency, that of the seventh city of virtue, we will never fully see the end of political division and hierarchy. The seventh shadow cannot command true respect or loyalty because it has at its core the lust for power rather than the good of others. Those who are elected as our leaders are chosen because they have a genetic imprinting that marks them as the alphas. However, this does not necessarily make them good leaders. Just as there are leaders, so there must also be followers, and these followers are equally influenced by the seventh shadow. Since the mass consciousness of humanity operates at a low frequency, it does not recognize high-frequency leaders, so it does not elect them to power. On very rare occasions, the mass consciousness does elect a high-frequency leader to guide them into the future. This usually happens during extraordinary times. One example was the election of Václav Havel, a poet and playwright, to the presidency of the Czech and Slovak Federal Republic in 1989. At that time, the fall of communism created such an upsurge in planetary consciousness that it became possible for a man of true virtue to assume a position of leadership. However, throughout most of human history, our political leaders have been men or women of personal ambition rather than true, unshakable virtue, and the seventh shadow of division is not confined to the political world stage, but operates at all levels of society. The other reason for this is to be found in the 13th shadow of discord, the programming partner of the seventh shadow. The 13th shadow concerns the inability to attune to or empathize with the heart of the people. It therefore undermines the principles of fellowship and trust between different groupings of human beings. Wherever you recognize another as an authority or guide, the seventh gene key is at play. In the case of the shadow frequency, like attracts like. In other words, someone at a victim level of consciousness will be drawn to someone who further strengthens that same energy frequency. If you are weak, you will magnetize those who reinforce your weakness and even play on it for their own benefit. It can be a huge shock to people when they realize for the first time that they have been playing out this victim consciousness all their lives. An even deeper shock is the discovery that most authority figures in the world today, our doctors, therapists, business advisors, even our spiritual teachers, are in the business of serving the shadow of division. Most people who are recognized as leaders do not want you to stop being a victim because they unconsciously fear that it will put them out of business. In this way, the leader is as much a victim of the seventh shadow as the follower. On an individual level, you must be ever watchful of your own tendency to give other people authority over you. The seventh shadow usually does not see the hidden agendas of certain leaders until it is too late. It is all too easy to compromise your own authority to someone in a position of power or to someone with a great deal of charisma or personal charm. The mark of a true leader is one whose main interest is in empowering you to lead yourself, rather than binding you to them. Ironically, the false leader always tries to hold on to you, whereas the real leader always tries to get rid of you. There is absolutely nothing wrong with looking to another with respect or reverence. It is a completely natural stage of the human journey. The trick is to find a person who can truly listen to you. The real leader is the ultimate listener. He or she will empathize so deeply with your suffering that you will finally give yourself permission to embrace it without fear, which will enable you to transcend it. At the core of leadership, at the shadow frequency, lies the fear of losing power, which keeps hierarchy intact. In the business world, the seventh shadow of division is the norm. Wherever money is concerned, hierarchy is found to be at its most rigid. Like the army, orders come from the top, and they are to be obeyed. There is no real autonomy or two-way communication within a model such as this. There is very little room for trust or ordinary human intimacy in these kinds of businesses, because the prime directive at their heart is to serve themselves and make money. The result can only be division. Division creates an attitude of every man for himself, or only slightly better, every business for itself. This is still the essence of most modern business. As was stated at the beginning of this gene key, we humans really do not realize that there could be other ways to operate in the world. Our inability to think collectively is precisely what creates a world divided. Only the leader who cannot be corrupted by power has true power at his or her disposal. As such leaders are recognized in the future, we will see the gradual dissolution of the force that divides human beings from one another. Ultimately, the driving force behind business, politics, and all arenas of leadership will have to take a great quantum leap. It will have to move from fear to love, or in terms of business, it will have to switch from self-serving to whole-serving. This is the path indicated by the seventh gift, which will finally blossom fully in the seventh city. Repressive nature. Hidden. When the seventh gene key is repressed, it simply fails to manifest in the world. These people carry the genetic imprinting for recognition as leaders, but remain hidden. This creates immense pressure within them, as well as frustration and resentment, all of which can manifest as physical symptoms in the body and emotions. The world today is actually full of hidden leaders living behind shadow veils that prevent others from seeing them and benefiting from them. The force that prevents a person's recognition comes from within that person and has nothing to do with what they do in the world. Thus, for these people to step into leadership, they must first recognize the power within themselves. As they do, a great tide of optimism and intelligence is released back into the world, which instantly gains them recognition from society at large. Reactive nature. Dictatorial. The reactive side of the seventh shadow knows well that it is a leader and takes full advantage of this by abusing its position. These people use those who follow them to their own advantage, thus reinforcing their status as followers. True leadership encourages people not to rely on others, whereas this style of leadership demands complete reliance, either through pure power of presence or through subtler means. These people are masters of patterns and can manipulate others by locking them into certain patterns. These can be intellectual patterns of thinking or belief, powerful emotional games, or materialistic patterns involving money. The game is to trap followers into believing that they need leadership. Naturally, such leaders only attract followers who want to remain at a victim level of consciousness. The seventh gift, guidance, the power behind the throne. True leadership, like true education, does not impose itself on anyone. It is the gift of being able to help others find their own way forward in life, rather than taking away their individual power. This is precisely what is meant by the name of this seventh gift, the gift of guidance. As was discussed in the seventh shadow, it is the driving force behind leaders that determines what kind of followers or supporters they will attract. At the gift level of frequency, we see the move away from fear towards service. Leaders operating at this frequency are able to think at a collective organizational level. They know that unless individuals are suitably self-empowered, the organization will not thrive. To this end, people with the seventh gift are strong supporters and implementers of schemes that allow individuals more power, creativity, and autonomy at all levels of society. The seventh gift, in many ways, is represented by the ideal of democracy. In the democratic ideal, every individual is free and leaders are chosen by the people to represent and guide them. Modern democratic government is designed to listen to the opinions of the mass consciousness and then use discernment to lead the nation forward. In this way, the seventh gift and its programming partner, the 13th gift of discernment, knit the collective together in a single pattern, where all the individuals within that collective structure work together. This, at least, is the ideal of democracy. As we all know, it does not often work that way. Once in power, leaders tend to follow their own agendas, which may or may not reflect what the majority really wants. Politics tends to follow its own somewhat bent course, and that course greatly depends upon the core qualities and principles of those who lead. Having said all of this, modern democracy is a huge shift in the direction of higher consciousness when compared to more primitive modes of government that do not encourage freedom. The seventh gift of guidance rests upon the ideal of service. To truly guide another person or group of people, you need to put aside your own opinions and judgments and listen intently to their needs. Great guides are great listeners. Sometimes, simply by being listened to in the right way, a person finds the answer to their problem without direct input from the guide. People with the seventh gift have a powerful magnetic presence, and just from being in their aura, you can come to deep clarity about your own direction. These people can, in particular, help others to see future patterns. This does not mean that they literally can see the future, but that their guidance is in alignment with future trends. It is this quality of being ahead of the crowd that marks these people as leaders. However, their recognition depends upon the times in which they live. History shows us again and again that many of the greatest leaders the world has known, in government, business, science, or art, often pass unrecognized during their own times. There is strong evidence for the current emergence of the seventh gift at various levels within society. Since humanistic psychologist Abraham Maslow introduced his famous model of the hierarchy of human needs in the 1940s, it has become the foundation of understanding organizational structure. Developed particularly in the business world, it enables us to understand large human frameworks in a wholly new way. Businesses can be seen as entire cultures with their own chemistry and life force. For the first time, people talk about the levels of consciousness of entire businesses. These are the early stages of a higher consciousness infiltrating the world of business. The greatest gestalt shift will come when the first truly holistic and service-based businesses prove that they can be more successful than the old greed-based empires. Some new organizational models are also beginning to understand the levels of consciousness of different styles of leadership. In our exploration of the gene keys, we are only looking at the three levels encompassing the two great quantum leaps, the leap from the shadow to the gift, and the leap from the gift to the siddhi. In reality, there are subtler bands within the spectrum of consciousness which give way to many other different levels. One new business model divides leaders into seven levels of consciousness according to the Hindu chakra system. Thus, you have leadership styles ranging from authoritarian, first chakra, to facilitator, fourth chakra, to visionary, seventh chakra. It is this mid-range style of leadership, facilitator, that corresponds to the seventh gift. Facilitators, as the name suggests, make communication and implementation easier and smoother. People with the seventh gift do not lead from the front, but guide the energy of the group itself. They create a space in which an organic team harmony can develop on its own, with minimal interference. They are often content to allow others with the requisite gifts to stand in the limelight while they lead quietly from behind the scenes, and in this sense, the seventh gene key is an archetype of the power behind the throne. This is the true meaning of guidance, trusting in the life process rather than forcing matters by taking control. This ability to surrender to life itself is the foundation of true leadership. The seventh siddhi, virtue, repairing the world. The seventh siddhi is an energetic blueprint hidden inside each human being. Despite many interpretations of the word virtue, True virtue has nothing to do with our concepts of morals or behavior. Anyone can behave in a pseudo-virtuous fashion, yet have none of the power of this Siddhi. We saw throughout the seventh gift how deeply this gene key is connected to the issue of leadership. In every pack of animals,